as far back as we can remember, friends, on the topic of immigration. We, you know, bemoaned the fact that while successive Irish governments were making the annual trip to the White House on St. Patrick's Day and presenting Shamrock and then going back with stories of, indeed, of success and progress, particularly with respect to the Irish immigrant. We were not really sure what was real, what was not. So it was perhaps an historic, not perhaps, it was an historic moment when finally the Irish government and the Senate gave and saw, you know, the what was obvious to the rest of us, and that there should be a senator for the Irish diaspora. And no surprise, indeed, to many of us here, that person is my guest coming up here. Senator Billy Lawless, first of all, you're very welcome to the program.
Good morning. Thank you very much, Adrian.
Listen, I want to ask you before we get into any of this. We had Kevin O'Connor there bragging about from Ireland about the weather is absolutely fine here. No, we're bitching and moaning here that perhaps a little bit of a cold snap is something, you know, that we're going to have to get used to. We're looking for the top coats from last year. But is it true that you actually have snow in Chicago?
We have, but sure, we're used to it, Adrian. I think you're too fond of yourselves up in the East Coast, I think. We're well used to the cold here, so we are. Yeah, we got the snow a bit earlier. We did.
Listen, I just want to ask you, when we think of immigrants, particularly the wave of immigration, the historic waves of immigration over the last couple of centuries from Ireland to here, what I just want to ask you a little bit about your own background. From Galway, it would have been a big step to immigrate maybe in the first place, and take that massive step when you were doing extremely well in Ireland. So it brings to that point, you know, where you decided, you know, I think I could make an impact because that's what you're doing. And in fact, you know, do a lot better in the United States. Or is any of that actually, does that fall into what we assume is the normal pattern?
Well, I think it is, Adrian. You know, I came here 20 years ago. I was actually 47 years of age when I decided to come. But I always had a thing since I was a young boy. John F. Kennedy visited Galway when I was 13 years of age, the year that he was killed. And I always had this thing about the United States, that it was the light on the hill, the beacon up on the hill, the country for all immigrants. And the American dream. And then when my daughter got a rowing scholarship to Boston University, I said, that's the sign, my daughter Amy. And she went to Boston in 1998, and we came out here. But I actually came to Chicago just by chance to see a cousin out in the suburbs, and I never left Chicago, Adrian. So that's it in a nutshell.
Yeah.
I think if I thought about it, maybe analyzed it, I mightn't have done it, but that's the way life is. It turned out very well for us, yes.
Well, you had indeed the option. Many of us, you know, traditionally, and even as we talk about current legislation here and the ups and downs, many of us, you know, did not know when we were leaving Ireland whether there would be an opportunity to go back or whatever. But I was somewhat, and still am, reluctant, and this is why we reached out to you, to describe the significance of this bill, which is introduced in Congress this week, in no small part through your own and many others who felt in this toxic environment for all immigrants that there was a good shot in getting this one through. Can you just tell us, because we were perhaps reluctant and have been over the last few years, say, you know something, the situation with respect to immigration here in the United States got much, much worse,
yeah,
and seems to be heading into, you know, into the sewer. So what has been happening, and tell us, if you will, about how this bill is different from the others, where we thought we actually, for many years, thought we had a good shot.
Yeah, absolutely. And quickly as I can, Adrian, we've always been working behind the scenes. I have always worked bipartisanly on both sides of the divide, Democrats and Republicans, with regards to the Irish situation. And we were very successful here in Illinois. We got the driver's license for the undocumented. Now we've nearly 300,000 have been tested and licensed, only because of bipartisan support. And then we got the Illinois Trust Act passed last year by the former governor now, Rauner, which protects immigrants from deportation. And it's very similar to the welcoming cities, of which you have in New York and Boston and Chicago. But we've always, and I've always been working on both sides for a bill for the Irish. And then last year, the Taoiseach appointed John D.C. as special envoy.
Yes.
And what most people want to realize is that John actually worked on the Hill with the Republicans over 20 years ago. So he was very familiar with the machinations of bills and how they're introduced and whatever. And then last St. Patrick's Day, or the week of St. Patrick's Day, the Taoiseach was invited to the White House, which he accepted. And there was a lot of controversy in Ireland. He should or shouldn't go on the same last year. I was always opposed to any opposition. Of course we should go there. I mean, we're the only country in the world that gets access to the White House on our national day, St. Patrick's Day, or the 2 days, that week of the St. Patrick's week. And it was actually the president there, and through the work that we've been doing for a bit, that the president actually brought up the subject of doing a deal for the Irish, which, slightly surprises, I think, the case. And then from there on, it was taken very, very seriously by the administration, by the Homeland Security, which is very important because they are the people who uphold the law, as you know, with regards to immigration in this country. And Secretary Mick Mulvaney, who is very pro-Irish, whose daughter actually went to school in Dublin, and is very pro-Irish. So they actually were working very closely to get this bill through. Now, of course, my total work over the years has been for the undocumented and to see if that's to be included. When they came out with it, that what was available to us was that the E3 visa, which the Australians secured in 2005 in a trade bill, and because of their help to the wars in Iraq and Iraq and the Middle East with the Americans. But they've never taken up their full allotment, Adrian. They've only taken up about half them. And they've decided to allow us into this, so for future flow and for people that would qualify, and get to that in a minute as well. But there's about 5,000 visas there yearly in perpetuity. Now, they have to be renewed every year. It's a non-immigrant visa. That's fine. I have no problem with that. At least it now brings us back into somewhat a good Irish flow, if we want it. I mean, I'm not advocating immigration whatsoever. I came here by choice myself, but a lot of people didn't have the choice, as you know, Adrian, many over the years. So that's where it came from. And we fought tooth and nail, I can tell you, about the requirements. The requirements are exactly as they were for the Australians in 2005. It's a third level education. Our equivalency, so that's why I'm hoping that a lot of our undocumented might be able to qualify under this. But there has to be a pre-job offer. Now, when I say equivalency of the third level requirement, that's for managerial experience of 10 to 12 years in a company. So a lot of our undocumented would qualify for that. The one problem that if this gets through, and it hasn't got through yet, Adrian, if the Irish have overstayed, as you know, 1 year, most of our people have a 10-year ban. So they have to go back. Now, we have to try and ensure that if they are going to go, they have to touch back in the embassy in your home country to get the waiver lifted. And it'll be treated on a case-by-case basis. So that's kind of the basis of it. So, but it will allow, we have to have pre-employment, you have to have a job. You also have the employer that you come out under with the job you're getting has to be certified as e-verified. In other words, a player like myself who had an e-verified status, in other words, that everything, all your workers that you would hire will have to be legal. So it cuts out any illegal workers working for you.
Yeah.
And, you know, and fine, that's fine, it'll work out. So it'll be difficult enough, you have to, but it's easier than trying to come out now. Imagine last year we only had, I have figures here in front of me, we got 219 green cards last year. We got 181 for immediate relative, you know, by way of a spouse or a sibling. That's 181. And under the diversity visa, we got 31. So that's what? 450.
Awesome.
It's terrible. Yeah. It is absolutely terrible, Adrian. So that's basically where we're at. And this, where we're at the moment. The administration is with this. The Homeland Security is very important. And it's been introduced by a Republican senator from Wisconsin, my state of promise here, Sensenbrenner, and our good friend Richie Neal from Massachusetts.
Right.
And Speaker Ryan, Paul Ryan, of course.
Yeah. And they want to throw into the mix there somebody, you know, who has an awful lot of clout as well. You're talking about Senator Orrin Hatch, the Republican of Utah.
Yes.
You know, the congressional Friends of Ireland group, and as you know, so you have been working for this for a while. Can I ask you, though, what is the significance of the midterm elections? And whereas many would say we need more support from the Republicans than the Democrats, what about the timing of this? It's suspect that this should be introduced in the same week that we had our election here, and there was a total switch, you know, at least at the congressional level.
There was, but I think the point that I've been making and John Deasy's been making and the government has been making is that there is no increase in visas. It is the same 10,500 visas that were allocated in 2005 to the Australians. So we are not creating a new visa allocation for the Irish.
Right.
It is there already. And most politicians on both sides recognize the relationship economically between our two countries, and especially now, the fact that we will be the only English-speaking country in Europe. We are American-friendly, all of the top companies. But I think what most people don't realize, and I think I said this to you before, Adrian, our Irish companies here in the United States are employing over 100,000 Americans, which is absolutely huge.
Senator, you know, we skip over that each time because I think historically, you know, what we have been doing, which is equally true, is that the Irish contribution, you know, to America is huge. But it's not like it has gone away, you know, except the circumstances are much different. the investment from Ireland into the United States right now. Who thought that there would be, it would be on par, if not slightly ahead, you know, breaking it down, Irish companies here, you know, providing, you know, the same or more employment than the American companies in Ireland. It's incredible, but that's true.
Okay, and one thing that we want, I want to make sure that your listeners know as well, we've offered a reciprocal deal to the Americans as well, in the sense that we have 10,500 people, American citizens, retired in Ireland. Well, now we are going to, we have offered them in lieu of this bill coming forward, that we will reduce the monetary requirement from 100,000, reduce it significantly for a couple. We will reduce the age from 65 to 55. We will allow them, a recipient and spouse, to work 20 hours a week. And here's the real kicker. After 5 years, we will give them Irish citizenship if they want it, which is a huge benefit to a lot of Americans and Irish Americans and Americans. They don't necessarily have to be Irish Americans. So it's not a one way street. This bill, Adrian. We're trying to work it that it benefits both countries. And I want to get back to the undocumented, because that is the reason that I was originally appointed. And the undocumented are number one in my mind. I believe that some of them, maybe more than I think, might qualify for this. But more importantly, it's a stepping stone. We haven't got anything since the Bruce Morrison visas of 92, 93, and 94. We've got nothing by way of extra visa. And our whole allocation was stopped in 1965, Adrian. We have to write that, so we have to get back in the game. We have to get back into the game to get Irish. And I can tell you, and I'm sure you're there, so long, you know that Irish communities are suffering at the moment right throughout the states, because we are not getting the young Irish out anymore. They were vibrant to our communities when they came out here, and what they contributed to the communities. So I think it's a great stepping stone. Now, Adrian, we were disappointed in 2007. I was in D.C. the day it was under Bush, who was very pro-immigration reform. And, of course, we got a bill passed in the Senate in 2013, a bipartisan bill. The biggest bipartisan vote in the Senate was 64 or 65 votes in favor. And we had 10,500 for ourselves that time. If you remember the Gang of Eight, Dick Durbin and Schumer and Lindsey Graham and Rubio. So we've been disappointed before. So I would ask everyone to get behind this so that we get it across the line. And then we start working from there for the rest of our citizens who are living over here, Adrian.
Senator, I think that, and you will agree, that we have been disappointed so many times before, in fact, you know, with certain amount of reluctance that we will find through, you know, the Emerald agencies, that it's well to point out that this, we're not going, as you have done very well, we're not going hat in hand to get this. I doubt very much that a lot of countries would be in a position to offer that reciprocal arrangement. And in fact, we know that it works, you know?
It most certainly does. And I will tell you, I've always maintained that there is a special relationship between Ireland and the United States of America. We're American friendly. Okay, we mightn't agree with President Trump's, a lot of his policies at the moment. That's understandable. But if we don't have to agree with all his policies. But he understands the importance of Ireland and for American companies. And we understand the United States for the importance for our Irish companies in the United States. So it's a two-way street, and I'm really, really happy about the reciprocal arrangement I think it'll work pretty well. But you mentioned earlier, Adrian, you mentioned Aaron Hatch. That is very significant because Aaron Hatch is retiring as well. But he is a very powerful player on the Republican side in the Senate. And it looks like he is going to support her as well. But one of his former chief counsel, who's Manus Cooney, has been a great friend, personal friend of mine for the last 20 years since I am here. And he has worked tirelessly as well as Bruce Morrison, with regards to the Irish. And it's incredible, it's fantastic that we have people on both sides of the aisle. That it's the only way it can work, I can tell you. It's the only way it can work.
It is. And again, this is different, and we should not, which is why I'm delighted to welcome you to the program, Senator Billy Laws. We shouldn't sit back and wait and see what happens, although we have been called upon so many times before to get in touch with our politicians on both sides of the aisle to do this. And I think, suffice it to say, this one is very different. And when you look at all of the efforts going back, you know, through the years, the Ancient Order of Hibernians, the young Irish immigration reform movement, moving through the immigrant centres, the Irish lobby for immigration reform, you can't blame some people from saying, honest to God, I don't believe anything is going to happen. But this is not an immigration bill. This is not going to get tied up in this most toxic environment.
Yeah,
if we look at this as a trade deal, thanks to you and the contacts that you've made, again, without political bias, I think it's all right to say that. It's all right to say that we have a good shot. It's also all right to say that what you are striving and what this bill is doing is not going to take the undocumented here and make anything worse. If we get a foot in the door, Senator Lawless, you know, and we all know, that somehow we are taken very seriously, and we are forever indeed known as those who will earn the reputation of being great.
Well, I agree 100%, Adrian. And, you know, there are many. I'm not the only one out there, Adrian.
We have
incredible people in New York there and all of the Irish centres who have worked diligently. And you mentioned the AOH. I want to make a special point here. They have worked extremely hard on our behalf over the last couple of years, and we have incredible contacts with the AOH. And I would like to thank the President, Judge McKay, because he was actually lobbying with me on the Hill with DHS over a year ago. So everybody has chimed in and given their bit. So I want to thank all of those and all of the advocates for the Irish who have been working over the years. I mean, it's just been phenomenal. So it has. And what they're doing for our Irish over here. And we will continue to do so.
Yeah.
And by the way, lastly, I'd like to say, you know that we're going to have a referendum in Ireland next May for voting rights for all Irish citizens living abroad for the presidential election. So I want all of you Irish to call your mothers and fathers and cousins and brothers and sisters in Ireland to vote yes for this referendum, to give us a vote in the United States and worldwide on the 24th of May next year, that we'll be able to vote in the next presidential election.
Another door opener.
There you go.
Yeah, and again, though, I can't, let you off the hook there, as you acknowledge, and rightly so, that a great number of people who over the decades have done a lot towards, you know, a goal that hasn't been met yet. But we did not have, an official Irish government, appointee specifically for the diaspora. Now, when you came on board, a lot of people who were not who were doing a tremendous job but not coordinated, it gave them, you know, an opportunity to work not only with you but through you, to make sure that there is coordination, because God knows there are a great many people who still think when the representatives from Ireland come to the White House, and that's a lot of nonsense about maybe we shouldn't pass up the opportunity. But a lot of people still feel like this is just one more ceremonial photo op for whichever administration is there. This is...
No, different. It's not. Yeah. Now, yeah, I agree.
This is very different. And for those who have... And this is the land of the free. For those who have a tremendous difficulty and anger with either the Democrats or the Republicans, with the administration or the whatever it is, listen, this one is for real. And if, in fact, we are interested in changing the environment, and if we are, in fact... if we are not just sending up another flare, but if we as Irish have something to put on the table that makes sense, that absolutely does separate us from all of the others who may be saying, wait a minute, what the hell are you doing there? We have it. A lot of that, indeed, is due to, the great dedication. But it's your job there, okay?
Absolutely.
It is your job to bring that message and to make sure that the perception that the Irish government coming over here with the shamrock on St. Patrick's Day is all that gets accomplished. You know different, and good luck to you on that.
It's very important. And you know what, Adrian? Do you know that this next year coming, we will have over 300 iconic buildings lit up in green on St. Patrick's Day.
I know.
Right
for
across the world.
Ireland, yeah.
Yeah, it's just phenomenal what they do. And as well as that, I offer no apology ever to anyone that the Irish, my function is number one for the Irish that are out here worldwide, both in the United States and in all other countries. And we will keep fighting for them and keep fighting for their rights.
And we could add to that that the fear that some people feel is that they're one more time being bypassed, that in fact, the opposite is true. If we can get that there, there are an awful lot of opportunities that can come from that. We will take it a step at a time.
Yep.
I know, and you know, that there isn't an awful lot of credit that will be due to us if we can't take care of those who are here, those who are established, those whose lives would be totally ruined if in fact they get caught up in this anti-immigrant wave. I thank you, Senator Billy Lawless. And
thank you very much, Ed.
Right. The website, and indeed, friends, if you'd like to get information. I give a source now, if you decide not. But please don't say where you got it. It's www.billylawless. That's billylawless.ie. Is that the right one?
That's it, Adrian.
Thank you again.
Thank you very much, Adrian.
Okay. Good luck, and we're in. We're in.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay, friends.